All right. Hello, everybody. Y'all come on in for maintenance coaching. And I got a request to talk about something. So let me pull that up. I'll start with that. And then if anybody wants coaching, you just need to raise your hand so I'll know how many of you are here and how many of you want coaching. It'd be great. You can also use the Q&A, and I will be in there with you too. All right. So, for maintenance call, I'm not sure who wrote in, but somebody wrote in wondering if I could talk about this stuff. And I'm going to watch I just want to make sure I have plenty of time to coach y'all too. What was it like for you when you finally got to goal weight? Was it hard for you to maintain? Were you confident? What did you do to be your future self when you got there? Okay, so let's pull it apart. We shall start with, let me pull this up. I'm sorry, I got to get all the screens together. And I'm having to use a mouse over here. For some reason, my Bluetooth mouse is not working at all. It's like he failed me. When I finally got to goal weight, it was exciting. I was like very excited. I remember like for about 3 or 4 months, I was excited. Like I was having to buy new clothes, of course, and because I had bought clothes all the way down, but of course, I was buying new stuff. I was still very shocked at how I looked in the mirror, and I was proud. Like I felt like finally I have accomplished something. But I wasn't confident. So I think the question is, were you confident? No, not at all. I just only spent a whole lifetime being overweight. I was confident that I liked the weight loss. I was confident that I was going to do my best to not regain it. I was probably about that's about it. I probably was also it felt very natural to me to doubt because I had doubted my weight all my life. So I don't think that I thought it was weird that I was doubting. I just thought that was pretty normal that, and what is so hilarious, and I'm gonna dig through these journals, but Jane was here with me, my best friend, and she's been here for the last few days. And I have this memory box, and I've been meaning to get the memory box out for ages. And so we were just sitting around Thursday, we didn't have anything to do, and I was like, I know what we're gonna do. We're gonna get out my memory box. I just wanna see what's in the memory box. We found three of my really old journals. The first one was from 1985, so I was 9 years old. We found another one that kind of chronicled the like mid-90s until like, I don't know, the early 2000s. And then I haven't even looked at the other one. We got kind of lost in looking at the one. And I want to go through and I want to read them because when we were reading them, this was during a time that it was right before I started losing weight. And plus, when I was little. And what was amazing to me was how I was caught between kind of doing some natural thought work that I didn't even realize I'd ever done and also straight dope diet mentality. So, for example, there was like one day where I am saying, well, first of all, it's not one day. Every entry that we looked at, you could turn to any page in any of them. It talked about, I'm on a diet, I need to go on a diet, or I am dieting and this is what I'm doing. Like everything was about the weight I need to lose. There was so many pages where I just had calculations as to like, I'm gonna lose this amount of weight and then this amount of weight. So by then I will be this size, like all the things. So there was like this one period where there was like one day where I'm talking about how I literally wrote down, I really need to lose weight, and here's how I'm gonna do it. Like I've got to start making some small changes. Now, this was not before I started losing weight for the last time. This was like probably 50 attempts prior to that. I need to make some small changes. If I could just serve myself a little bit less, that would help. And I wrote down, you need to drink more water. You're not drinking water, you're drinking like juices and stuff. And then I wrote down, you have got to talk better to yourself. I literally wrote it down. You have to talk better to yourself. That was my plan. Okay. Then, like a few weeks later, it literally said, you have to lose weight. Chris is going to find you unattractive and leave you. And I don't even remember. I don't remember if we were together as dating or we were married yet. And then my diet was going to be go buy diet pills, eat one meal a day. Just so y'all can see the reason why I tell you this, especially for my maintenance people, y'all, I was just like all of you at one point, just like all of you. There's nothing you think, there's nothing you experience. Like when y'all talk about like going through a period of where like, am I ever going to be able to just eat normally again? I thought those things too when I got done. But the difference between me and you is like this person asked, like, am I ever going to be able to eat normally again? I remember wanting to do that and I had to teach myself, Corinne, normal to you is eating your face off. Normal to you is eating when you have a bad day. Normal to you is cleaning your plate even if you've had enough food. Like, that's not normal anymore. So, when I had to be really conscious of when I was in maintenance, reminding myself that what I used to do, like, I don't want to go back to that because that had me eating instead of feeling. That had me weighing way more than I wanted. It had me waking up every day with regrets. Like for all of you, if you're having some kind of thought about going back to normal, that was not normal. You have to unnormalize your old behavior. We wouldn't need to lose weight if that was normal eating. Normal eating doesn't make us overweight. Normal eating is really enjoying food, making choices for our health and for our emotions, thinking before we eat, having a bad day, and solving the problems of our fucking lives instead of eating. That's normal. So when y'all sit there and ask me, like, did you ever go back to normal eating? I'm like, no. What I do now is called normal eating. Deciding what I'm going to eat for the day so that I know that I'm taking care of my needs. So I'm not slipping back into diet mentality. So I'm not just eating without thinking again. To me, that's pretty fucking normal. Like, you know what else is normal? Every single day, paying attention. Have I had enough? Thin people do that. Normal eaters, they do that. For some reason, we're like, oh my God, it's such an abomination that I have to do it. It's like, no, you got to train yourself to do it and you got to call that normal. That's normal. Like what we were doing was never normal. It was abnormal, harmful, not good for us. If you want to call your past eating something, please, for God's sakes, talk about it the way it really is. Don't glamorize it. Don't act like that was better. The way you're eating now, if you don't like it, figure out why you don't like it. Because not liking something doesn't mean it's bad. It means I've got thoughts about it that are blocking me from enjoying this new life. Like when people tell me like they don't want to plan their food for the rest of their life, I'm like, why? Why do you not want to spend 2 minutes every single day thinking through your day about what you're going to put in your mouth and ensuring that what you put in your mouth tastes good, that you like you don't get too hungry, that you have nourishment, that you're taking care of your bases. And I get sometimes there's moments in life where you can't plan, but for on those moments, if you plan most days, then on those moments you're on autopilot and can make better choices because you've been training yourself to do that. Why would we not want to do that shit? The only reason why we wouldn't want to do it is if we have some kind of hose bag thoughts that are error thoughts about it. I know lots, I think about my husband, normal eater. You know what he does every day? He has a rough plan for food. You know how? He doesn't eat anything different for 6 months at a time. No fucking shit. Y'all always are like, what? He has no eating disorder. You know what he is? He knows what he likes. That's what he eats on fucking repeat. He's got it planned for the next 6 months. That's all. So what else did she say? Was it hard for you to maintain? It was not hard for me to maintain because I really talked crazy ass lovingly about what I was doing. When I would be afraid that I was going to regain my weight, I did a lot of like reminding myself, I don't think you will. There's a part of you that's afraid because you know that in the past you have, but this time's different. I couldn't just say this time's different because my brain is like, no, it's not. It looks like the other times. I mean, you lost your weight, you're wearing smaller clothes, you like your body, like whatever's going on feels the same. But I had to remind myself, it's like, at no point in your past did you ever figure out why you were emotionally eating. At no point in your past did you actually heal your relationship with some foods. Now, even in maintenance, I had not healed all my relationships with all my foods. I had not. But I was so much better in so many areas. So I had to remind myself of that shit over and over and over again. When you get to maintenance, your job is to fall in love with maintenance, is to constantly reassure yourself that you are going to keep this weight off. Your job is to listen for old thoughts because most of us have lost weight at some point. And then we had thoughts or things happen and we regained weight. When you lose your weight again, your job is to notice, when am I thinking that goes in contradiction to what I want to do? And I've got to continue that work. When I lose weight, if I've never believed I could keep it off, man, when I lose my weight, I'm not going to believe I can keep it off. I got to know that about me. I got to know that those doubts are coming. And that's when this time to make it different, it's all about the reassurance because I wasn't reassuring myself the last time. I was just scared as fuck, watching the scale and dramatizing anything that went wrong. That's how I did maintenance last time. This time, maintenance has to be different. And then she said, what did you do to be your future self when you got there? I don't think there was anything. I don't even understand the question. What did you do to be your future self when you got there? All right. All the way when I was losing weight, I made sure to do things and set up my weight loss in a way that I liked it. So, like when I started exercising, I started with exercise that I enjoyed. I started with walking. When I thought I might want to lift weights, I started lifting weights. I liked it. I kept it. I did triathlons for a little while. I didn't like them. So, I let those things go. For several years, I ran half marathons and marathons, really enjoyed it until I didn't. Until it was just like, I just don't want to be doing all that anymore. I don't like all the time it takes. And I never felt good. I always felt kind of beat, like I enjoyed the race, but my body was constantly beat up. I was like, all right, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to focus on the parts I do like. So when I was losing weight and stuff, I tried a lot of things, I did a lot of things. And I just kept the things that I enjoyed. That's why I keep your program so flexible so that as you're losing weight, when you get there, the whole goal is to like the life you just created. That's why so many people regain weight is because they don't really like it. They're making themselves do it and liking the results. But the process is awful for them. So that's why, while you're losing weight, it's really important that you really examine your process. If you're not liking the process, we got to figure out why. Is this a legit reason? Like, I don't want to be a runner. Or is it a bullshit thing? Like, well, everybody else gets to eat this but me. It's like, really? You can't ever have a piece of cake? You're just not having one right now. You just don't eat it every single time somebody else is eating cake because you're afraid of missing out. You've overcome that version of you. You've finally gotten comfortable with the idea that you don't have to eat what everybody else is eating every single time, and you can still have a good damn time. That's what we want to be doing while we're going down the scale, so that when we get there, we have resolved so many of the issues that staying there is not that hard. The hardest part of staying there is acclimating to trusting that you'll keep the weight off. To doing like just like you did, like you had to at some point convince yourself that you could lose weight. Now we have to convince ourselves we'll be able to keep it off too. And that means a lot of journaling, a lot of fucking talking to ourselves. Like that's literally the magic. And it's like all I ask y'all to do to lose weight is get out a piece of paper and a pen and talk differently to yourselves. And you would think that I was saying, I would love for you to cut off your right nut in tribute to weight loss. No. It's like, for fuck's sake, when we think about like all the things in the world that we've had to do to try to lose weight, the mounds and mounds of stupid shit. Like, I just coached someone on another call who, when she was a teenager, was put on a 2 year liquid diet. That's hard. Let's get perspective, ladies. Sitting around making a 24-hour plan full of fucking food you want to eat, rebuilding trust with food so that you don't lose control, learning how to talk nice to yourself. Ladies, wake up call. That's not the hard way to lose weight. That other shit that y'all always want to go back to the well of, I would call that the hard shit. Stop signing up for it. Okay. She said, I'm finding that I still have to do all my no BS weight loss things to stay in maintenance. Good. Everything that I teach you in weight loss is because I think this is a good life. The only things you have to do to lose weight is talk nice to yourself. Whenever you are emotionally eating, figure out what you truly need so you can have a better life. So you don't have to eat in order to numb out. Yeah, that's a real cock fuck right there. Drink water. I would love for you to get appropriate rest and self-care. Oh no, Corinne, why you want me doing all this hard no BS stuff that I gotta do the rest of my goddamn life? Check in. Are you hungry? Like, Corinne, are you actually hungry? Or did you need something else? How many of you would love if somebody in the fucking world one time would say, like, you know what? I just want to ask, is everything okay? Do you need anything? Could I help you? When you ain't doing that for you, guess what? You go eat. All I'm asking you to do is, am I hungry? Because if I'm hungry, I deserve nourishment and food in this body. And if I'm not hungry, I deserve to check in with myself and be like, girl, what's really going on here? Like, what do you need? I just want to help you. Tell me what you need. Yeah, that's the real fucking hard way to lose weight. I'm so sorry. I would like to apologize to every woman that I have thrust upon them the hard way to lose weight. And then we're going to stop it enough. Because our body knows this is what we need. And when we don't want to stop it enough, we'll be like, girl, what do you need? Because I know you want to lose weight. And your body is saying, hey, I just want to let you know. Like, all of us physical organs and stuff, we're all good. Like, we're happy. And you're just like, no, you must eat. I don't want to waste food. For God's sakes, you know I'm undeserving in life all day long. I just work hard and I was a terrible person. And because I can't tell myself nice things, I should eat extra chicken tenders. The real hard to lose weight way. So I am sorry for all of you in maintenance that I have thrust upon you loads of self-care, talking better to yourself, taking appropriate care of yourself, planning for your needs when no other fucker in the world will do it for you. I have taught you how to be self-sufficient, to love thyself above all else, and to listen to your emotions. And you're welcome. So, for all of you, when it comes to maintenance, I am telling you right now, why would you want to give this up? And if you heard this and you're in maintenance, you're like, wait a minute, I think I lost my weight and I must have missed the memo where we're taking care of ourselves. I think I might have just dieted down. Girl, it ain't too late. Not too late. You know what you should do? Run your little happy ass right back to the no BS weight loss course. You should go through the emotional eating courses because probably right now you're emotionally dieting. Like, I'm not filling my needs. I'm dieting to avoid my needs. I'm hanging on for dear life. And I'm using my diet is a way to avoid what I really need. Because for a while, it kind of glossed over what's going on in my life. It felt good. I felt like I was making progress, all these things. And now that I'm here, I don't have the diet to quiet my noise in my head. The noise is back. The noise never goes away unless you do it like I ask you to. We're losing weight from love. We're losing weight because we're paying attention to ourselves. We're losing weight because we're finally listening to our needs. We're done waiting on everybody else to change before we change. We love ourselves too much to keep going down that road. Okay. I haven't arrived and get back to my old ways. I'm maintaining my good habits and tools to stay at this new weight. I haven't arrived and get to go back to my old ways. This was what I was talking about earlier. Like she says, I don't get to eat at night after dinner or my weight comes back up. Why do you need to eat at night after dinner? Why are we worried about like maintenance? Why are we not like the house is on fucking fire? You're telling me I don't get to emotionally eat at night. Good. Because if you're not emotionally eating, you get to fix the reason why you feel like you need to eat at night. And you fix that. Welcome to your better life. Just arriving at your weight by strong-arming yourself. Like, are you really want to, like, y'all really want to lose weight? And so, like, what I really want is I want to go back to emotionally eating instead of figuring out why the fuck I need to. Something's wrong in the house. I should probably fix it. I use this analogy all the time. When you're emotionally eating, you have a leak on your roof. I mean, like a big one. I'm not talking about like a tiny one that leaves a little water stain. I'm talking about black mold. The water drips aggressively. The wood is rotting. That's emotional eating. And y'all are like, I need a bucket. I mean, fuck. If I just get me a bucket, I'm good. I'm just gonna sit in this damp fucking house, and every time it rains, I'm gonna get that bucket, that magic bucket. One day the roof caves in. The way I teach you to lose weight is get a goddamn new roof. That's what we gotta have. We need to fix the leak. We do not need a bucket. Weight loss is a bucket. We're going to fix that and lose weight. Let's see if she has anything else. And by the way, whoever wrote this in, please don't think I'm yelling at you. I'm yelling at the collective mindset of the world that teaches weight loss like an asshole. That is what I'm yelling at. You, my dear, are just a product of the bullshit in the world. That is all. It is not your fault that you feel this way. But I get passionate about it because you deserve better, way better than what you're asking me for. We've got to get back to not forgetting at the heart of it. We are emotional eaters. And when we are in no BS, we finally have the opportunity to fix the crap that we have been carrying for a lifetime that nobody else has been helping us fix. And we just happen to be losing weight because we're fixing it. I am still having to stop it enough. Like, okay, well, here I am. I lost all my weight as a 2007 till now. I still got to stop it enough too, because that's where we're fucking supposed to stop. Where else are we supposed to stop? She says, if I go to full, my weight creeps back up. It's probably because you're full. Like, this is the thing that I think about. Sometimes I eat till I'm full. On like special occasions, different things, but it's very intentional. Because it's like, this is something I particularly love. And I'm like, this meal, I would love to eat till full. But for some of us, eating till full is not really eating to full. It's eating until all of those emotions that I'm suppressing are numb. And what you think is full is actually, now I'm not thinking. And that could be way past full. We're going to always be in the enough to just under full range. That's about where most people eat. Like my husband, my son, they don't eat until swashbuckling full either. Normal eaters don't do that. They eat when their body's had enough. To me, the only thing that's really different in my maintenance is that a few times a week, if I want to have, like, if I want to have my fried chicken liver, I can eat my fried chicken livers every single week with my double order fried okra, and I can overeat that meal. And I know I'm going to be up a couple pounds on the scale for a couple of days. And for the couple of days after that, I'm eating till enough. I'm eating my normal stuff and I'm fine with that. When I was losing weight, if I had chicken livers and fried okra, I didn't eat until full. I ate until enough. I had some. But I just felt like that was such a gift. I was just like, I like a life where I'm not, every meal is so important and the only way I'm happy. I like the life where I felt like I could have foods I liked, but also I felt like I could feel good after. I liked a life where food wasn't just the only thing that I looked forward to. And if that's you, if you're needing that stuff, it's not the food that's the problem. We gotta figure out what's going on with your life. Why is it so important? That's what we gotta figure out. All right. Oh, and she says, if I wing it without making a 24-hour plan, I'm not nearly as successful that day with my food choices. It took me years to be able to wing it because I had spent 30 like plus years. Like, not doing well on the wing it side. Like, I want you to think about this. For 30 plus years, winging it to me was eating whatever the fuck I wanted, irregardless of how I felt, throwing my diets away, not caring if I woke up the next morning with heartburn and regrets. That was what wing it was for me. So, that habit of wing, like, planning, I still plan my food. In fact, in the 55 plus group, I share my plans with them. I'm with my flamingos now. Even though I'm only going to be 51, they've adopted me because I feel more like I feel like I'm like in my 60s. I literally live the like I'm just going to be the most amazing woman at the old folks home. I will be fun, but I'll be in bed by 6. Like I'm going to be a hoot in the when I go to the home, I'm going to be a hoot. Me and Jane, we are going together. We always say we hope to God that we die after our husbands. Well, actually, I don't mind if I die before Chris. Like I'd be okay with that. But if it goes down, Chris dies first, then I want Todd to die first too. Because Chris and I've made or Jane and I made a pact. We're finding an old folks home. We're going to have some cats, and we're going to sit all day. We're going to coach, and we're going to talk. We're going to do the things. And I am ready for it. But this is what y'all got to know is that for food planning, I still plan it because I do better every day when I think about what I'm going to eat. When I don't plan my food every day, I am like everybody else. I have a normal brain. My brain wants to eat what's convenient. It makes up excuses. It wants to order out. It wants the easy road. That's not a flaw in you. That's called a normal fucking brain. And so I still plan because I'm going to make better choices when I'm planning versus when I'm going with my current mood. Because most days, I am like a lot of you. I put in a full day. I'm tired. People wanted my attention all day long. I got asked 500 fucking thousand questions. I didn't get to do some of the things I wanted to do today. So if I don't have a plan at night, I am going to want to eat whatever's convenient. I like to set that version of Corinne up with a plan. I like to know that I took care of that tired bitch. Because she is a tired bitch. So don't feel bad about that. All right. Let's go to Allison. Allison Sunshine. Do not worry, Carol. 80-year-old Corinne, she will still be talking smack. I'm going to be like my granny. I will have to go down with a tranquilizer gun, I'm sure. She's too much of Corinne not to. All right, Allison, what do you need help with?
So I
Oh, there you
am
go.
a no BS woman since 19. I lost my weight. I maintained it for about 27 months. You've coached me multiple times, and I got your certification a number of years ago. So for
I
the
remember you.
advanced weight loss, yes. So where I'm at now is I had a regain last. I had a small regain, which was understandable. I was still within range on life-changing circumstances. I had moved back to my childhood home. I am still there for 3 years now, but my regain that I'm struggling with was last April. My gym, which is a females-only strength training gym that I love, did a fitness challenge. And I'm like, okay, I'm healed, no diet trauma, I can do this. And I was excited to do it. It was disguised as a nutritional challenge, but it was a diet. And it used my fitness pal. And what it triggered for me is I call myself a veggie head. I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. I honestly don't like eating meat. It grosses me out, even as a kid.
Okay.
So the thing that came up was, and I love the owner of my gym. I love her so much. But she looked at me and she's like, "Well, how much protein are you getting?" And it like genuine concern for her that I wasn't like getting enough. And I think that threw me into not trusting myself. So there's like normal nutrition, there's weight loss, there's like longevity nutrition, and then what I call it is like bro gym math. And as a someone that doesn't eat animal, that it made me second guess myself. And then I even spent like $3,000 and I joined what's called like the vegan gym, which is
Okay.
awesome online, got lots of stuff, but it's still macro counting. It's still this. And so what I think it did is by me trying to focus on protein, I wasn't trusting myself. I was extremely dysregulated. So then I was eating to self-soothe. So it's doing like the opposite. So when
Okay,
I,
so how did you get enough protein without triggering yourself?
well, that's the thing. I was trying to load up on the protein then, and like protein shakes and doing this and doing that. Where before that, from just a nutrition and an everyday thing, because one of the questions she asked me, she's like, "Well, how much protein are you getting?" And in the back of my mind for years is like normal health or normal maintenance is like 0.36 per pound of body weight. So that's roughly 54, between 50 and 70 for me. And I felt fine at that. So now I was trying to do like gym protein, protein, protein. And I think it really
So
fucked
you have
with my
really good
thoughts.
awareness. You know what triggered you.
No.
You know why you regained weight. Why does it even matter? Like, why are you even telling me this?
Because now I'm finally at the point, and I raised my hand at the maintenance call you did the other day, because I sat down and I did the math, because April 2019 is when I joined No BS. I hit my goal. I maintained it for 27 months, and I did
Yeah.
like 9 months in 140s, 9 months in 130s, 9 months in 140s. I was still in that range. And then I hit the 150s, and then I hit the 160s, and now I'm almost at 170. And I am
Right.
determined I am not going to do that. So I think,
Hey, good.
what I'm asking you, I guess I almost need permission from you to not need that protein.
I'm not going to give you that
I
permission.
know. Yeah. So I don't
Take a
know.
wild guess why I'm not giving you that permission, because
Because
I just want to know if you know the reason.
I don't need it from you. I just need it from myself.
It won't help if I give it to you.
Yeah.
It
Okay.
really won't.
Yeah.
It will enable you to now, rather than listening to her, now you're just going to listen to me. And at some point, we got to listen to Allison.
Yeah. And
If
that's what I
you
kind of.
really want to maintain your weight, because even what I would love for you to do is watch this call again, the way you described the situation. You did a really good job at one point of saying, like, you said I'm triggered, but there was a lot of almost like that diet caused this, and the way she said it did this, and like it was all like that is why I feel this way, instead of I've got like a hair and snot and everything happening right now. All
That's
in my
okay.
face. Sorry. It's like a hair is like dancing all over my face. At some point, we want to say is like other people's opinions are never as important as mine. So when somebody says something and I'm getting triggered, that is my like bat signal to check in with myself is what does Allison want? What makes sense for Allison? Like, I appreciate your opinion. I think that's great that you want me eating all this protein and stuff, but I also don't want to do that. And I have historical evidence and stuff. And it's okay if I just decide, well, thank you for being worried about me. Because somebody that believes in a lot of protein would definitely be very concerned.
And I think what it was for me is I second guessed myself then. And am I doing wrong? Because I do work. I'm doing my another Tough Mudder at the end of August. Like I'm already like I'm extremely strong. So I think you nailed it, because I can feel myself talking to you like I'm like this. And when I hit my goal and when I maintained it and when I was doing that, I was like eating the stuff. Okay, another side tangent, like rice cakes. I love rice cakes, but I even wore the constant glucose monitor, not for diabetes. I'm not diabetic. My blood works great. And then it's like, oh, my blood sugar spikes when I eat those. So let me, I was trying to really data hack my system, and
There's,
now.
I want to say this. There's like, you keep trying to bypass your thinking. It's like, and now let me tell you what I was doing. And then that's why I felt this way. It's like, no, because there's a lot of people that could wear a glucose monitor and see that rice cakes spike their insulin and decide, well, if I'm overall healthy and stuff, I guess rice cakes spike my blood insulin. That's good to know. But since it's not causing me problems, I won't worry about that. Or you could be like, oh, I really don't want my blood sugar spiking like that. Good to know. Even though I like rice cakes, I kind of want my blood sugar more stable. Like, just notice, same exact thing can happen. And depending on your attitude about it, like how you think is like how I feel and how I respond. I think you've just forgotten that Allison matters.
And I
Like,
know what worked for me, and rice cakes work for me. Right.
Then
And not
that's
eating
what we want to
animal
say to
works
the
for me.
glucose monitor.
Yeah.
I know you think I'm getting a big spike, but I honestly have no health problems. I was just, CGM curious.
Yes.
And I know rice cakes work for me.
Yeah.
So I just know that when I eat rice cakes, I'm gonna have a spike. But I have no other medical indicators that I would need to do anything different. Now, if you were a diabetic and doing this, and we were literally doing it because your blood sugar spiking is actually causing physical harm, we would probably want to have a different attitude. We'd be like, good to know about them rice cakes. It's going to have to be one of those foods I need to pull out because I'm over here surfing diabetes. But you're not.
Yeah, no.
You're just curious. And so, I just don't want you to forget that, for you to be able to, I am getting this weight back off. The way I got it off originally is because I trusted me. And when I started getting other inputs, I forgot to get other inputs while also mixing in my intuition, what I want. It was all of a sudden, it was like, oh my God, everybody else's opinion is so much more valuable than mine. I should throw mine out. Good Lord. Mine's like trash.
Yeah, because I kept thinking, oh my goodness, am I wrong? Like, am I doing this wrong? And I wasn't. So, okay,
No.
it's like fuck all. And I love data. Like, I even have like my DEXA scans. I even brought them up. Like, I came prepared with my notes and my DEXA
That,
scans.
this is what I love about you. Okay. It's like, this is what I want you to trust. That you did all this stuff, like CGM, you hired this person, they're trying to get you on protein and stuff. And even though your brain kind of flipped out about it, but you're like, I got a DEXA scan. So obviously, the way I'm been doing protein is working just fine. I'm assuming your DEXA scan said you're doing fine.
Yes, I mean my lean muscle, yeah, I can track from my lean muscle to my body fat, and I was in much better shape when I was doing it my way
There you
than when
go.
I tried to alter it.
There you go.
So,
And
yeah.
now, like, if you did want to do a challenge or whatever, I don't think challenges, I would watch out for thinking that challenge was like diet mentality in disguise. That almost feels like very dangerous.
Well, once I
No.
got
Oh, I was going to say,
into
please.
it, yeah, I got triggered real bad and I thought, oh, wow.
That is what you have to watch out for. That's the more accurate statement, is when I do challenges and stuff, I'm likely to be triggered to think my intuition's bad, that I do it wrong or something. But I need to remind myself, I lost weight. I actually know what I'm doing. I would just enjoy being in a group atmosphere. So I will take from the group what I love. Guess what I also can do? Ignore the stuff I don't.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing because I love the gym. I go, I'm there all the time. I'm not participating in any nutritional challenges now because I said we all have different goals, and my goal is not weight loss there. My goal is to exercise, to celebrate what my body can do. I can lift heavy, I can do, my next goal is unassisted pull-ups. Like I'm really like I love feeling super strong and I am, but I'm not going to
Girl,
participate in the nutritional.
you are doing so much right. Trust yourself.
Okay,
There's
thank
like
you.
legit nothing you have told me other than I'm not listening to myself. The only thing you're doing wrong is not listening to you.
Yes, yeah, I think that's what it was, is I really started to second guess myself and I lost trust in myself.
Yeah, and you know
So,
what you're doing. Anybody
yeah.
that has the goal of unassisted pull-ups, I'm going to be doing a Tough Mudder. I got my DEXA scan. I was wearing a glucose monitor just to see things. Blah, blah, blah. There's nothing wrong with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good
Yes.
luck on your Tough Mudder.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this could be my fourth one. So I
That's
love it.
awesome. I
Yeah.
love them.
And
I used to do them. I don't do them anymore, but I used to do them. I've done I think I did eight. And
Awesome.
getting shocked and going
Yeah.
to the ice bath, I was like, you know what? There's other ways to prove my strength now.
Yeah, the Arctic enema, the ice bath is the
Oh,
one
yeah.
I hate. Everything
Me
else I can
too.
tolerate, but that one. And I'm doing the 15K and the 20 obstacle one this year. So I'm really excited, and I'm gonna show up not counting macros. I'm gonna do it my
Yeah.
way, and it's fine, and I will get to my ideal I'm going to have fun doing it too. I'm going to trust
But
myself.
always the best way. Always the
Thank
best
you.
way. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you,
All
Allison.
right. Thank you. Good
All
seeing you. All
right.
right. Bye.
Bye. Y'all see, like, though, how quickly it is to, I know she trusts me, which I do not take for granted. I love that y'all trust me to death. And sometimes I will just tell people what to do, but I will never tell you what to do at the expense of you bypassing your good intuition. And when I hear if you've got good intuition, I will not do that to you. Because my goal in OBS is getting you to trust yourself. And this is what I know about most women. We actually have a really good intuition. We're some of the most intuitive beings on the face of the earth. Like, just think about how we raise our kids and stuff. Like, we just really are good at kind of knowing what's dangerous and what's really not, and like making good decisions. Like, we pretty much make sure that humans are able to keep going. Like, if you can raise a human, you have good intuition. And for some reason, we override it. And I do not want to teach y'all to just listen to me. It should be a blend. It should be, I'm offering you all of this. And I try to offer it in a way that hopefully empowers you to listen to yourself. Just like when I've been on my big rant earlier, it's like at the heart of that rant was this idea of, especially for you maintenance people, is I'm teaching you how to lose weight by listening to you. Not listen, I'm just giving you the frameworks, the things that are important to listen to, but it's always about you listening to you, not just listening to me. Okay. Michelle W. That's fine, Lisa. I see you. I got this. Aw, Kitty, my one cat, my little squirrely scaredy bug, is crying outside the door over here, wanting in, and the other door's wide open. Shell, you coming? Let's see. This happened earlier. Oh, where we go. I don't know what Zoom is doing today.
All right. Hi.
Hi. If I get
Sorry
up,
about
I will be
that.
able to hear you. But if that cat does not find that this door is open, I'm gonna have to let him in over
You just do what you got to do. My girl's right here beside me.
here.
Okay.
What can I coach you on?
I have gotten to maintenance how I wanted to live my life, with one exception, and I'm finding it very difficult to find a good reason why. And that's water. I don't like drinking water, and I don't want to drink water.
Why
So,
do you not want to drink water?
because I want to drink coffee, because I like coffee and just black coffee, not like with stuff in it. I like Coke Zero. I like iced tea. The
I mean,
only
you can drink
time
those things. Are you saying you never want to drink water?
I want to drink water is I go with the can I just, okay? So while I'm making my coffee, I'll have 16 ounces of water.
Okay, that's no problem.
Yeah, it's not a problem, but like I'm looking at my habit trackers, and for like the last 3 months, there's not been like a consecutive like 0.064 ounces in my whole month.
Okay, that's fine. Like, 64 ounces are a hard and fast rule. You're probably getting plenty of hydration. Let me just tell you some of the things about water so that you can make an informed decision. Because you
Thanks.
definitely get to do what you want to do. If you're not drinking any water, like none at all, and you're getting it from sources like you said, what, Coke Zero or Diet Coke,
Coke
something,
Zero, coffee,
black
tea.
coffee, just unsweetened tea,
Yeah.
and does all of that have caffeine in it?
Yeah, it
Okay.
does. It does.
Does it affect your sleep at night? It's my first question.
No.
So you're able to sleep no matter what. Okay, so then that's not a concern. Do you have good health markers?
I do really good.
Okay. Is there any other, is there any kind of negative consequences that you think you experience if you're just not drinking water at all?
Yeah, I would say that I probably feel tired. I would say
Yep.
that there's probably some tired in there, and
That's
I think
probably
that could
because you're
probably.
cranking so much caffeine to stay hydrated, because your body has to have a certain level of hydration. And you can get it through a lot of sources. Like a lot of really, really overweight people rarely drink any water, but they eat a lot and there's water coming through the food. So the main reason for water is so that your body is not craving things to get itself hydrated. Okay. Because I don't think, like, I'm just going to tell all of you, I don't have a problem with diet sodas. I drink coffee too. I personally can only drink 1 to 2 caffeinated beverages a day, not because I'm a water hound, but because if I drink more than that, like I'm really tired in the afternoons. Like it does not take long before I have a lot of energy dips. And it's because my body's like, oh, well, you got to keep that caffeine load going. Your body will want that. Then I also
I can
well, and I
energy
don't
dip. I could see that.
Yeah, and I also don't poop as well. If I'm not drinking enough water, I am not joking. Like, I better get my the last few days my friends were here and we were just like I was doing the majority of the talking because I'm always for some reason I'm always the teacher. I don't know how I take the lead and I teach every single time. And so I spend like 2 days talking. I might have drank one of these a day. I thought I was having a baby this morning when I went to the bathroom. And I'm not joking. I'm the kind of person who will put their feet up on the potty, just like, like I'm like Asian and doing a squatty potty or something. Because I'm like, and I will like hunker down. I'm like, okay, finally got that one out. And I was like, I will be drinking all the water today because I'm not doing that again tomorrow. So there's just like, for you, all I would say is don't make this a huge deal. Just really pay attention to your, make sure you're not missing anything. Make sure you don't have spikes in your eating and stuff. Because you wouldn't want to sabotage your weight loss just because you have, like, you don't want to drink some water every day.
Oh, for sure.
I do encourage you, but this is your choice to drink like the 16 ounces before you get started in the morning, like you've been doing. That's a very good habit. And maybe try that at least one other time during the day.
All right.
And then have whatever else you want. Like everything else is just a bonus, but and just more for like these energy dips and stuff. Like, because you've already said, the thing I do notice is my energy's off. So if you maybe have some in the morning and maybe some just in the afternoon, like have another trigger, like the if you want to, do you drink like a coffee in the afternoon or something?
No, I usually flip to Coke Zero at that point.
So then when you go to Coke Zero, just make a trigger of like, before I have my first Coke Zero for the day, I'm going to drink one more 16 ounce and I'm going to like let that ride for a few months and just see what happens.
Well, and to your point, when I was losing weight, my deal was is alternate. It was the 16 ounces before anything else. Like it was water, whatever, water, whatever. And I feel like if I would say one of the things that, back to normal for me is the reduction in water. And I guess I just haven't found, well, I guess it's bad enough to be coached because obviously I feel like there's a problem. But, I think
Think
that
it's a big problem. I'm just always wary of giving up something that's because it doesn't sound like it would be hard for you, like hard for you to just drink 32 ounces of water every day. You just don't want to.
I don't.
Yeah, and you probably are never going to want to. I've not one time woke up in the morning and been excited about brushing my teeth. I've never wanted to. I've never been like, oh God, such a fuzzy mouth. Like I can't wait to experience the spearmint on my teeth. Not one time. Most days, I'm like, oh, I gotta go brush my teeth. somebody's coming over. There's so many things that we do in life that we just don't really want to. Like, do you ever sit through a commercial? You ever like have the commercials come on and be like, yay! No, we sit through them and half the time we complain that they last too long. Yet here we are. So
Yeah.
the way that I like to think about it is I like to just think about some stuff. We just have things in life we're not going to want to do. And is this something that I will die on the sword of like, no, this goes against the grain. Like, I absolutely do not want to be this person. Like, it is not even, it goes against my core values to be this person. Like, those are the kind of things that we want to say, like, yes, we just don't do that. But the thing I would watch out for with you is it was a habit that you did, that you easily did when you were losing weight. You weren't probably ever enthused, but you were willing to do it because it got your weight off. Now you just kind of ask yourself, am I willing to keep doing it because it's going to keep my weight off?
And see, that's the thing, Corinne, is that I don't feel like it has been a driver. You know, I keep within my 5 to 6 pound range, and I watch, you know, what I intentionally write my food in the morning. I try to do a pretty well sticking to that. And so I don't feel like at this point the water consumption is a make or break, but I do like what has resonated with this conversation is around brushing teeth. Like, I do that because of my overall health. I am certain that the water consumption, just, you know, I think my goal will be an afternoon and an evening. I'll
Yes.
find a spot to put two more and then take it, you
You
know,
just
that'll
do
be what I
it because
monitor
it's,
for.
yeah. And I would just say, like, I just do this because I'm never going to be excited about it. I'm never going to love water, and that's okay. I don't need to. There's lots of things I do in life because they're really like, I've never once got excited about getting a mammogram either.
True,
I
not
mean, that
once.
I go, my happy ass is there because I don't want breast cancer. But the I bitch, I moan, I don't like it. Like, there's nothing fun about getting your tits squeezed to death. But that's what I like. This is maybe just one of the things you tell yourself because the only other thing I would say about the water, otherwise, I would just be like, who gives a shit? Just drink whatever you want if you're not having any like negative consequences. I will say, if you're anything like me, I am vain as all get out. I do not like loose skin. I do not like crepey skin at all. Like,
Does it have something to do with crepey skin?
everything. It's the first
What?
line of defense on your crepey skin. Moisture from the inside first. Like, you can put all the crepe erase and lotions and bullshit you want on your body. If you ain't hydrated from the inside, it won't matter. They always say, like, I've been to many a plastic surgeon about all this stuff. And they're like, especially if you get plastic surgery, they'll say, do not do it if you ain't willing to drink your water. So if you don't like crepey skin, if you want this face to stay a little taut and stuff, probably drink that water.
Okay, we may have found my why.
Your compelling reason has emerged. Yeah,
Thank
everybody
you,
drink it
dear.
and be
Good to
like,
see you.
bye-bye, that's the main reason I hydrate hard. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I do. I actually can feel it when I'm not drinking enough water. Like, I have drank water enough throughout my lifetime since I've lost weight to know I get headaches if I don't. You may not be getting headaches just because you're getting that caffeine.
Yeah.
But anyway, just try that. And then
I will.
if you come down to it, and it's really one of those things you don't want, then experiment. Say, I'm going to try this for 3 months. But if I physically feel different, if I notice my cravings are coming like rising like a tide, if I notice that I'm having a harder time stopping it enough, if I'm finding my sleep is not as good, my poop's not as good, what are the other things that pertain to weight loss? If you are like the scales creeping up, you're having a lot of swelling, like you're puffier than you think you should be. Like after you travel and whatnot, that's probably water. It's probably just dehydration. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Suma. I think Coach Lisa had to leave everybody. She has clients right after this call, so she can't go long like I can. And then I'm gonna do, how do you say your name? I'm sorry.
Somya.
Sonia. And I know I've asked you this 500 times.
Always.
I will answer the Q&A and then we'll be out of here. All right. So what you all coaching on?
Right. Okay. So I've been in maintenance, but I've been finding that my weight has been creeping up. Okay. And I know what I'm supposed to do. So even if I make a plan, I shit my plan. Okay.
Why are you shitting on your plan?
Because in that minute, the urge for the conscious brain is not kicking in. The conscious brain kicks in later, right? It doesn't kick in
Okay, you're
before.
giving me the scientific reason. I just want to know why you don't want to eat what's on your plate. I want to know the emotional
I
why.
feel like I'm tired. I'm fed up. I'm fed up of following a plan. I'm fed up of wanting this weight loss. I'm fed up of having to do this continuously. And I know you just the rant that you just gave us before you started to coach us was very, very helpful, right? And I get it. Like that, I mean, that's the reason I'm here and listen to you so much because you
Ask you this. Why are you tired of, like you said, I'm tired of following my plan or I'm tired of making a plan? Which one?
So I think I'm tired of making a plan and following a plan because I'm tired because it feels like I'm constantly dieting. And I know I'm not to some extent, but I also feel like I am because if I'm trying to lose weight, then I can't eat the chocolates that I want and the treats
Right.
that
But that's what we got to figure out. I think you're trying to address the wrong problems. Why are you wanting the sweets and the chocolate? Because I mean, I just want, like, you're really good at thinking about the logical brain. Logically, we know you can have sweets and chocolate.
Yes.
I mean, we just know that.
Yes.
But we can't have sweets and chocolate if we're wanting them because we're fed up, rebellious, tired, acting out against ourselves, if
Yes.
we're not meeting a deeper need, and that's why we're wanting sweets and chocolate. So, like, I want you to really think about what's going on in my life right now that has suddenly made me think I'm just tired. Like, because you're not tired of, we all think we're tired of dieting. It's like, no, you're tired of the narrative you have about your life.
That's true. That's very true. That's
So,
very true. It
what do you?
feels like whatever I do, I never get ahead. Like if it's weight loss, the weight will come back on. If it's starting a business, the business will not take off. Like I keep doing it and redoing it, or the house is always a mess, or I never enjoy the work that I do. As much as I really try and been an IT programmer for 20 plus 19 plus years now, and I really want to enjoy it. And there are days when I will think to myself, I'm just trying to make an excuse for it, you know. So I'll try and pay attention. But as much as I try and pay attention, I can't seem to find any interest in it anymore. And I still have to keep the job because I have to keep the job, right? And so everything feels
I
in a
don't think, why are
disarray.
you trying to be interested in a job you don't want?
Because I feel if I'm interested, I'll do a better job of it.
You can
I'll
do an
be.
amazing job at something and hate the shit out of it. Those are two very different things.
Okay. Because I think I
I
don't
tell
do
you
a good
what, go
job of it.
listen to some of my coaching calls with teachers.
Okay.
Amazing teachers hate the fucking job every day. They're done, they're changing lives, and yet they're just seething underneath. So, like,
Yes.
just something for you to like, let's work on that
Okay.
first.
Okay.
Why are
And
you
then,
expecting yourself to like something? Why do you need to like it? Why can't you just go to the job and be like, I don't like this job,
because I'm tired of
but I
not
can do a
liking
good
the
job.
job either. Like, it's a constant, then it becomes like this tug of fight, right? Like, I'm not liking this job, but I have to be in this job. And then these thoughts of me having wanting to quit this job keep going higher and higher and higher.
Why don't
And
you
the
like
dis.
the job?
I don't know if I'm okay. I think I'm good at it. I've been in it for 19 plus years, so I think I'm good at it. It's not
Okay,
that.
so we know you're really good at it.
I'm really
Okay.
good at it. And I've convinced myself over the years this is not one of my strongest suits.
And what did you
Like,
say? I'm sorry.
I've convinced myself this is not what I've liked. I've told this narrative to myself that I don't like this job for 19 plus years. So now I really don't like this job. Okay,
That's fine,
maybe.
but I want to know why you don't like the job. Just because you've told yourself that over and over again doesn't mean it's even true, to be honest. You actually like could just go every day and be like, I'm fucking baller at this job. Like it's even boring. I'm so good at it.
Right.
We
Right.
need
I
to
think
figure out why you don't like it. That we just want to make sure that the reason is not based in something that we can coach on. If the reason is based in legitimate shit, then we know if you're not going to leave it, then we have to let go of hating it. And we don't have to embrace loving it, but we have to, like, my coach coached me on this one time. I was complaining about my job, and I own the damn company. I'm complaining about my job over and over again, every week, just all the things. And she said, you're no longer allowed to blame anybody anymore for how you feel. You cannot complain about your team. You cannot complain about any of this stuff anymore. We have coached on it 1,000 times. You obviously, like, she's like, then get rid of people that you don't like. I'm like, well, no, I mean, like, they do these things. And like, I would like, I like to be an employer who does this and blah, blah, blah. She's like, okay, then you can't complain anymore. You're making a choice. So you're choosing to be frustrated every day, and that's okay. Just know you'd rather be frustrated every day so
than
that
have
you
a
don't
job.
have to be someone who feels like shit that, they just let anybody go every time they piss you off. That was like very clarifying for me. So I want to know why you don't like a job and you showed up for 19 years.
Because that was the only job I knew to do. I'm an engineer by education, so that's the only job I knew to do at that time.
That's okay, but why don't you like this job? That's telling me how you picked it. That doesn't tell me, like, what is it day to day that you're like, this job sucks, A, B, C, and D, Corinne.
So A is it's a toxic environment. The people are just, I mean, the environment is just crappy.
Okay, so
Okay, so
we
I have to manage a
can
lot of
that.
stress. And I have a, I think A, that should be B. A is my perceived sense of judgment of me and my work skills is so high that I can never be good enough in my own eyes.
Okay, so let's start with that.
That's the huge problem because that transcends every area of my life. I judge
Right.
myself
So
for
I want
everything,
you to
whether
listen to
the
me. You cannot say that you don't like your job anymore because
Okay.
that is not true.
Okay.
Here's your truth. I don't like the way I talk to myself at the job. That's really what's going on. Because I want you to think about this. If you walked in every day and you didn't, because you said, no, this one has to, like, I wanted to make a toxic environment. You're like, no, this one's more important. I don't like myself. I talk to myself terrible. Like, this is the problem. It's like, okay, that's why I asked you, why do you not like this job? Because it has nothing to do with the job. I would put you right now with your brain in your own business, and you wouldn't like you in your own business.
I
I put
won't.
you in no BS, you won't like you in no BS.
I won't.
Right. So your problem, I really believe this for all of you, is you can't solve a problem unless you're accurately telling yourself what the problem is. Because you're working really hard on, I'm eating because I'm in a job that I don't like. And it's like, no, I'm eating because I don't like myself every day. And it doesn't matter what I do, I'm not good enough for me. And until I solve that problem, yes, I will want to escape my job. Yes, I will want to eat my face off. I will not want to follow my plan. My scale will keep creeping up until I solve the problem of liking me. What else would I expect? Your job is the trigger for you not liking you. That's all. And I know that's hard to hear. I mean, it's like it sucks when we have to hear. Like, I know
No,
everyone
I know
wants that
that.
magic statement that's going to make them get back into their maintenance range.
Right, and I know that about myself, and I do. There are And I guess some days it's just easy to go offline with my brain, with the eating and the numbing with the social media and such. Then working on myself and finding things that I like about myself and reducing the judgment that I dish out to my own self. But it's hard. It's hard on days when, but I guess that's the right answer. Yeah, I
Let
think
me
I.
say this. It is hard to learn to love yourself, but it's harder to hate yourself for your entire life.
But then how do you like yourself when you know you've missed, you bungled up something at work, that you purposely didn't do it because you didn't feel like it, but it was supposed to be done, right? Like you really stopped showing up at work, right? I'm like, right now I'm just cruising through, and the only thing that scares the shit out of me or puts me back in work mode is the thought of losing my job because my business is not where it's supposed to be also, right? So I don't want to lose that paycheck. And that's when fear is the only driving factor. It's hard for me. Like, how long can I get that fear? Because that level of fear does go down on a day-to-day basis, you know.
Right now, you're using fear to perform, but let's just make sure you need to be scared. So, how many reviews and how many like 90-day plans and how many sit downs with the boss have you had where they're like, "Hey, we're catching you underperforming." Let's just
Zero.
start there. Okay. I love y'all so much. It's like, well, how do you perform when you're about to lose your job? It's like, well, are we about to lose our job?
No.
So this is how we work on this. We notice when we're afraid and we remind ourselves, like, wait a minute. I have expectations of me that I'm not meeting, but nobody else has those expectations.
Right.
I just need to be really clear that this fear is about my brain, not theirs. Because right now
Yes.
you've got it all like it's a toxic environment, and I'm like a stone's throw away from losing my job and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I would bet you if we went through toxic environment, I bet it ain't near as toxic as what's going on in your brain. I would bet 99%. Like, when's the last time somebody yelled at you at your work?
About 1.5, 2 months ago, but she was ranting and I just hung up on the meeting and I did not join back the 2 hour meeting. So she's just learned to talk to me nicely because I said, I'm not going to take that shit. You can speak to somebody like that, but not to me.
So not toxic. Somebody lost their cool. You set a boundary. That got solved.
Yes.
So not toxic. Tell
Not
me
toxic.
one example of toxicity that you would be like, Corinne, now this, you
So.
and I are going to have a kumbaya about.
Yeah, let's do that, right? Like this is like I'm a
How
teammate,
excited,
right?
everybody, look how excited she is to share her toxic environment.
This
Okay.
gossip floats my boat on a day-to-day basis, right? I work because I get some gossip that kind of encourages me to show up at work. I show up for my colleagues. It keeps my life entertaining. The only thing I have a pet peeve about them is that they have these unrealistic expectations when it comes to the evaluations. Like, we never know what I'm being evaluated against. I could be getting evaluated against somebody who has published 10 papers and given blood and written a book or what shit and got some $1 million of sales to the company, right? Like, I never know who I'm competing against.
All right, so
That's
why is
it.
that? Why do you need that? Because I don't let, that's so weird. We don't do that in my company either. That's called normal. Like, to me, as an employee, like when I worked in an environment, I didn't give a fuck who I was getting compared against. You know what I wanted to be? The clear winner. I just showed up
Right.
like a clear fucking winner. I didn't need to know what my competition was doing because you know what I didn't want to do? Work down to my competition. So why would your employer need to tell you, oh, by the way, here's the people we'll compare you against just to make sure that you are doing your job?
No, right? Like, and that's the other part of the judgment that I give and dish myself out is that I should be motivated enough to show up at my job so that I can be the best of me, right? Like I do the
No, you
work that.
shouldn't. You don't like the job. You know what you should do? You should like tell yourself, like, I don't have to be number one. I just need to get, I don't even like this place. I just need to get my work done. I need to quit. Like you need to work on you. I don't know. Me riding down the road and wanting to be the best driver for some reason. Who cares? But I just want you to think about this. Like the root cause of your issue is still this idea. It's this meta thought of, I have created an entire world where I should be better. That's kind of like the title of your book is Sonia Should Be Better. Okay.
Exactly.
We
That's it.
gotta burn this book and write a new one. Like you shouldn't, because this is the problem. If you make it to where your expectations for you are really high, impossible, always moving, it's contingent upon like the mystery of who you might be compared against and stuff like that, you'll fail every day. It's you've set the impossible standard. You're not even supposed to meet it. You've orchestrated your life to do that. So the way that we unwind it is we have to just realize, what is fact and what is fiction? Am I supposed to like my job? Maybe not. But if I want to keep it because it provides me financial security, I like my job for these reasons. And am I supposed to be the best? Only if I want to. But this is the crazy thing, and I want you to hear me when I say this. Only one person can be the best. And then there's always a ranking. And only if you want to be number one. But you know, like if you're one out of like say there's 20 of you and you're somewhere around number 10, you're still getting paid well. And they probably still like you. We only have a problem if you're showing up as number 20.
But then if I when I the problem with me is here, when I translate this to say eating on plan, or when I translate this to other areas, right, then I find that then I start slacking off because I have just accepted myself where I am, right? Like I like my life
No,
where it
you're
is.
not slacking off when you like this is what's happening. I'm slacking off right now because I haven't decided who I want to be. I'm slacking off right now, doing it this way, being really hard on myself, being very pressure, creating stories of toxicity, thinking I should be number one, thinking I should be better than imaginary people, and that everybody should tell me who I'm competing against so I can stay safe. That has you slacking off. You release all that pressure. Guess what? Making a meal plan each day and following it is easy.
I have to
Tastes
come back and listen to this
brilliant.
again because I can't really wrap my brain around this right now because I'm so deep in it. I'm so deep in this.
Tell me, as of right now, so you think.
So here's how it translates into diet and eating on the plan for me. Then I start putting on things that don't really work for me. Like I will eat
That's
ice
not what
cream
happens when you have
or
less pressure. When you have less pressure, do you need chocolate? Why do you eat chocolate now? Tell me exactly why you eat chocolate right now.
I just ate some because I didn't like the way I was feeling.
Okay.
I had some anxiety. I don't know about what. Maybe that a th ton of
Probably
shit
because you
that
got to
needs
go
to be
to that
done.
fucking toxic positive or toxic environment work tomorrow.
That maybe that th not even that as much, but there's ton of shit that left to be done in the house. I just got back from a vacation of 3 weeks, and there's so much in the house that it's overwhelming me. And I just don't want to get to it, I guess.
Right, you don't like, let's just say it's not overwhelming. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Guess what? I ate chocolate because I put pressure on myself. I slacked off because I told myself all the things I probably should do. But let me ask you this. If you did nothing, absolutely nothing in the house, what happens tomorrow? Do you lose your home?
No.
Does like child services come and remove your children?
No.
Nothing happens other than you beat yourself up. That
Yes.
is the legit worst thing. So when we heal that relationship with ourselves and we're just like, look, if I'm not ready to tackle the house, I'm just going to take a break until I can figure out where I want to start. And if I don't get it done all today, nothing bad's actually going to happen. I know me. I have high standards. So the worst that's really happening right now is I have really high standards for myself, and sometimes they're really hard to meet, and I don't give myself space. That's all that's happening right now. Would you have ran to get chocolate?
No.
Right. We don't slack
Absolutely.
off when we're easy on ourselves. When we're easy on ourselves, we have more strength, energy, and power to make good choices for ourselves. We have the
Okay.
energy to give ourselves a break rather than giving ourselves an ass whipping for wanting a break and then going and eating chocolate, and then we get another ass whipping.
Right.
I promise you, when you do more care about yourself and you really think through when you are unjustly hard on yourself, when things are ridiculous in expectations, when you're creating all that drama in your brain, you will want food and you will want chocolate and stuff, not because it tastes good, but because it's the only relief you're getting from you. It is your
Then
escape.
here's where I really struggle with this. I understand this, all of this. I really, really do, Corinne. I've listened to you n number of times, but here's where it gets it's here's where I get stuck, is like, how long do I let this task go? It's already been a week. Okay, it's already
If
been a
it's
week.
been a week, then it obviously is not a bit. What is the task that is like got you in such a state that if you don't do it, like you have to eat chocolate? I can't wait
It's
to hear it.
something, I know it's so simple, right? I just need to unpack my suitcases, put them in the and put them back where they belong. And but to do that and to put all the stuff that I bought in back in my closet, I need to empty my winter stuff. That's it. Like, that's it. Nothing more. Like,
Okay, so why is that overwhelming?
it shouldn't be. But
It is. Why is it over? And I swear to God, if I could move this camera, do you know what is sitting outside my door right now? Four suitcases that are unpacked. And we flew home from Vegas last Monday. And guess what's not happening today? And my friends were here and had to walk around them through the front door every single time we came in and out. And I was like, psh, I'm not doing that. I got friends. What are we talking about?
Okay.
It feels overwhelming to you. That doesn't feel overwhelming to me because I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, it says nothing about me as a human because I don't want to take time to unpack my suitcases. I'm like, what it says about me is I don't feel like it. There's nothing in them suitcases I need. If something I needed was in there, I guarantee you I'd unpack those suitcases. But I'm not doing it until we came home, I had work to do, then my friends came in town, I've had to coach all day. It's like
Right.
I'm gonna go and watch TV after this.
Absolutely.
I will unpack those suitcases when I get sick and tired of looking at them. That is probably when I'll do it. And I know that about me. At some point, I'll just be like, fuck, let's unpack these suitcases. I'm tired of walking around them. I think that that's fine. But not you.
Right, and I have these kind of expectations around everything in the house. So then, what just happens is I just sit in front of the TV and I just sit on the sofa, and I watch TV. And I may not overeat, but I am not like binging, but I still overeat in just
Hey.
over my
Because you
threshold.
feel bad and guilty for allowing yourself to do what you want to do.
Yes, and
If
lately it
you
seems like a
had.
lot of resting, a lot of resting. It does look like that, a lot of resting.
Right, but you're not resting. I would guarantee you, when you're sitting there watching TV, you're numbing out and escaping. You're not actually resting. Like, you're not giving yourself permission. You're saying, lazy bitch, you should be doing this. Oh my God, there's so much shit in the house. I can't believe you're sitting here watching TV. This is no good. I bet you Corinne unpacks all of her suitcases. I bet you Corinne even works after her calls. I bet she's not watching TV. I should get a snack.
Something on those lines, yes. And the
So,
worst part is my kids are learning from me, and I'm being a bad example to them, and that can be the gist of it
no,
all.
stop. Just wash your mouth with soap. I want you to just listen to yourself for a second. It's like, how many ways can I make this a problem?
Yes.
Instead of all my kids are doing are watching me, but they don't know what's going on in your head. They're
Yes.
seeing their mom being chill. They're seeing their mother not be consumed with having the perfect house and being anal
Absolutely.
about it.
Yes.
That's probably a good fucking lesson.
Yes.
How
I think
many of
so.
you in the chat grew up with a mother who every little thing that was out of place, you about got your damn mouth smacked?
Sure, we did, yeah. Just to some extent, yeah.
But think about it. Your narration. Like, this is all I want you to do for the next few weeks. Seriously, you better come back to the next maintenance call.
I will. I honestly, I need this. I think I'll sign up for one-on-one coaching just because I need to get over this.
Yes,
I
you
am
do.
drowning. I'm drowning in the self-judgment, and I do not know a way out of it. Like I can't go, I can coach my clients out of it, but I can't seem to coach myself out of it. It's ridiculous.
Who is, have you been assigned a coach yet?
No, I want to sign up, but I don't know who to ask for.
You don't need to ask for me. I want to talk to your coach
Okay.
because
Okay.
here's what I know about you. You're going to be a tough one to coach because you will probably relate to this because you coach clients, don't you?
Yes.
You ever had a client who throws at you 4,000 shitty thoughts? It's like no
No.
matter what, it's like all of a sudden you're going down 400 rabbit holes. We have one thing to work on with you.
My judgment.
How you think about yourself.
Okay.
We got to repair the relationship with you. We should not be coaching on your meal plans. Like, I promise you that if you worked on that, you would find all the food freedom you have been seeking.
Okay.
Your food right now, every time you're eating, is a manifestation of how hard you're being on yourself.
I know that.
Okay. And that's why I don't want to take the food away, but I do want you to keep planning. But
Okay.
plan like you love yourself, not like you're desperate to get back in your maintenance range, because that's just more self-flagellation.
Yes, I realize that. I realize that, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
So we're
yes,
going to do
yes.
that. And then I'll get with MJ after this call and I'll tell her when you come through,
Okay.
I want your coach to watch this call, and here's the instruction to your coach.
I love this.
You are not allowed to work on anything other than being very focused on why she has such bitchy standards for herself. Like, where did it come from? Let's untangle that. Let's figure that out. Let's also do simple practices of finding space at your job and in different places where you can notice when you're not being kind to yourself. And then you can say, like, okay, this is me again doing my thing. And I'm not going
Yes.
to judge myself. Like, your first line of defense is just getting to know it, not changing it,
Right.
but not judging yourself for judging yourself.
Okay.
Does that make sense as a coach? Like, there's
Yes.
you judging, and then there's you over here going like, yeah, you shouldn't be
Yes.
doing that.
Yes. And it's taken a lot of work to even realize that that's my first line of defense, that I don't even know that I'm judging myself because I'm so way past in deep in it that then I realize, oh, I'm feeling shitty because I've already judged myself for the last 15 minutes. And I've come to that place now. Oh, okay. Because by the time I'm feeling shitty, I've already been at it for so long that then I have started to give myself some compassion. But like today in these 2 days, I was so out. Like this coaching call is going to help me just get back to that again, right? Like, okay, I'm just judging myself.
Yes, you're going to study yourself and you're going to learn how to not judge the judger of you. We're going to become friends with her. Because y'all gonna have to be besties, because the actual judger of you is really trying to tell you, these are the things that I think are important in life. And we got to redecide, are these things actually important, or are these things that I witnessed as important and I never redecided as an adult? We're going to have to do a lot of that work. Now,
Okay.
for today's homework,
Thank
though,
you.
is let's decide on the suitcases.
Yeah, I'll get them done.
Only if you want to.
Yes.
I'm not doing mine. So there's
So
no
I
have to do what?
love that you're not doing yours.
I refuse. I have worked all day. Like, my ass had company for 2 days. That felt like work. Y'all do not even understand. I used to be such an extrovert. Now I'm like such an introvert. And it's like,
Same.
I love my friends. I enjoy them when they're here, but I have like a hangover when they leave. Like,
Same.
I'm just drained.
Yeah.
So I've been entertaining and I was coaching them on their businesses. It felt worky. And
Right.
they stayed at my house, so that meant I got
Okay.
no breaks at night. I didn't even see my husband. Today, I
Okay.
had to hit the ground running and work. I'm like, I get to do nothing this afternoon, and I'm going to relish in it.
Absolutely.
So I just want you to decide, I'm only doing those suitcases if it feels like it's coming from love. It should not, or because I'm like, you know what? It's not that big a deal. It's not as big a deal as I've been making it, but please don't do it because you think I'm a bad mother setting terrible example for my children, or you should want to get this done and your house is in disarray. Like, we're gonna do a micro improvement. We're gonna practice. We either do it from love or we ain't fucking doing it at all.
I will think about it. I'm not yet clear if I want to do it, but I also have a sleepover for tonight for 14-year-old my daughter's birthday party. So I will think about that. And I have a Target run to make, so I
You
will think
may want to
about it.
leave them there and just be
I
like,
will.
I have to prepare for littles.
Yes,
All
I'll probably leave them there. I'll probably leave them there.
right.
Thank you so much. I
I'm
appreciate
going to
it.
tell MJ to watch for you, and then she'll get with I'll tell whoever the coaches to watch your coaching so that they can get a taste of what we talked about, okay?
Sure. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you
You're
so much. I
welcome.
really need it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Y'all, is it just me, or is it crazy to watch us call after call after call? And it's like we sit, and the hardest thing to do is like ourselves. It's like, oh my God, like you're asking for the impossible. Like, I was actually having a very interesting conversation with my friends about weight loss. And like we always say, it's so hard. And I'm always like, actually, losing weight is really easy. It is not hard. The hard part is all this inner work we do. Like, it's not hard to stop it enough. It's hard to stop it enough when every bite after that is filling an emotional need. It's hard to work on our emotional needs. It's hard to feel like working on ourselves is not a waste of time, some kind of like being selfish or whatever. It's like, that's the hard part. That is the hardest part of all. All right, let me do the questions real quick, and then we're going to get out of here. Man, I have been going all day. Shit, y'all. I went from counting calories to counting grams of protein. Is that just calorie counting in disguise? No, because you're not counting the other calories. Not sure how I could know what's best for me, amount of protein, by just checking in on my intuition, like health-wise, what's going on in my body. I don't count protein grams. I just make sure I've got like a lot of protein at each meal, and I kind of just mentally do it. So like when I make my eggs in the morning, I do one whole egg, which I know is 7 grams of protein. It's right on the box, so it's real easy. And then I add just a bunch of egg whites. And so I'm like, all right. And that with if I have a yogurt with it, I know my yogurt has 20 grams. So I'm like, all right, breakfast, I probably already nailed 40 of them for the day. And I have some fruit. And then when I eat lunch, I just make sure that I have some protein. When I eat dinner, I just make sure I have some protein. Pretty much, if you eat any protein at all meals, and you eat your protein first, you're getting enough as a woman. Plenty. That's it. So I just wouldn't worry about it. If you like want to count grams of protein, you absolutely can. I just don't like counting. I do not like math. I have to do plenty of math in business. I do not want to be doing math on what's going on in my mouth. And I've never been a math person, but if math floats your boat and you want to do math, y'all can. Just watch for obsessing. Watch for the math overriding what your body is telling you. When you count calories, whether like protein, calories, or whatever, for all of you have to remember your body doesn't operate the same every single day. So if you're in your birthing years, before menopause, your body has a lot of days where it's going to be a lot hungrier simply because your body's working harder to get your period going or to ovulate and stuff. So we all have days where hunger levels spike and hunger levels go down. When you're counting calories, they really just say, like, here's how many to eat every day. So some days you have days where you're not that hungry. So you just don't need to eat all the way up there. But yet, if we have calories, what do? We override our body saying, I'm not hungry, and then we eat to it. So that sends a signal to your body. What you're saying doesn't matter. So it starts wanting to turn down hunger cues. Then you have days where you're extra hungry. It could be for a myriad of reasons. You didn't sleep as well. Like there's all kinds of biological reasons why hunger spikes and ebbs and does these things. On those days, if you withhold food when it's actually hungry, yet again, you're telling your body, I don't think you're important. What you're telling me is just not that great. So if you are going to count calories, don't do it at the expense of truly understanding your hunger and enough signals. You don't want to be overriding them. Otherwise, you have to count calories the rest of your life. But if you want to count calories for a little while, just because you happen to love math and you nerd out on macros and that kind of stuff, and you are willing to not override your natural cues, it's fine. And you're not going to have a problem with it because you're going to enjoy it a lot more. I'm excited about July's focus, and now I'm in my maintenance range and worried I'm going to gain because I think I'm going to want or need to eat more. Also struggling with my loose skin. Ugh. Kelly, number one, I don't know why you would gain because you're going to be doing a little bit of movement in July. Like, I am for sure not giving anybody any kind of movement in July that requires extra eating. It's a walking plan. If you already work out, like, I lift like crazy, y'all. Crazy. 5 days a week, super heavy. I don't eat anymore. I don't know why y'all think that exercise makes you eat more. It really doesn't. This is what happens. When you exercise for less than an hour a day, you're not doing so much in an hour. Like, I think the max calories you can typically burn is about 500, and that is if you are redlining for the entire hour. I think the body, it's like right around 100 calories for every 10 minutes of exercise if you are going at max. Like, I mean, as hard as you can. All right, somebody said exercise really increases my hunger. I don't think it does. I think what happens is there's a psychological thing that happens, which is I've exercised, therefore I should eat more. Like your belief is that it's increasing your hunger. But it depends on what you're doing because actually a lot of exercise is an appetite suppressant. The vast majority of intense exercise, studies show like athletes have to force themselves to eat because when they do intense workouts, it dampens. Like it slows the blood flow and everything down there, you typically are should be experiencing a reduction. Now, later on, you might be getting hungry, and that's fine. Feed yourself, but you got to do it logically and to enough. No one in no BS, even the woman training for a Tough Mudder, is training so much that you need more than probably, if we're going to do calorie wise, an additional 100 to 200 calories a day. It's minute at best. And I mean, if I was with you, we better from 0 to 60 minutes, we better look like our asses are on fire and the only way to put it out is to run hard. That is just science. Like, y'all, it really is. Now, what you need to look at, Daniela, is if you start exercising, and Kelly, same thing with you, if you are exercising, track, all right, when I get hungry, do I make good choices? Because that's totally in your control. Exercise won't make you eat like a jackass. You will make you eat like a jackass if you start think if you use exercise as an excuse to have a little wiggle room. But if you're really that worried about it, that my hunger is going to increase, here is a trick that I used in my bodybuilding days. Because in my bodybuilding days, oh my God, did y'all see my picture I posted in the Facebook group on Selfie Saturday? In my memories box, we found my old bikini competition bikini, and I posted it in the Facebook. First of all, I couldn't even believe that that thing fit, but it fit. I was like, oh, here we are. But it was as tight as I ever remembered it. Those things, they're not like a regular bathing suit. They don't have the give. They literally go up your ass. So in bodybuilding days, I had to do an hour of cardio first thing in the morning. Then in the evening, I had to lift for an hour. And then 8 weeks before a competition, I had to do another 45 minutes of cardio. Nobody in this group is doing that. I was living on 1,800 calories a day. My post-workout meal was a bag of tilapia with some steamed broccoli. So here's how we'll figure out if you're really actually having an increase in appetite. Make it boring, really boring. It's like, I'm an exerciser. I notice that my appetite goes up when I exercise. So I'm going to eat tilapia and broccoli. And if you're just like, oh God, well, I'm not hungry for that, then we ain't actually having in exercise induced hunger. What we're having is a psychological response to thinking, oh, when I exercise, it increases my appetite. And so now your brain is on the lookout to be like, oh, you exercise, we should probably eat something. I think you're hungry. So we just want to make sure. That is literally the tried and true way to get it done. And I promise you, if you eat enough tilapia and broccoli, you will know real quick if you're actually hungry. And the reason why I say that is because I didn't lose my weight. I lost all my weight, and then I did these bodybuilding competitions later. For those of you who don't know my story, I lost all my weight, and then a couple years later, I lost it all in 2007, and then in 2009 is when I started competing. And competition is a stretch of a word too. I was never competitive, but I did it because I had a lot of loose skin. So, tilapia and broccoli, when you're that hungry, doing that much workout, it's a damn good time. I remember I couldn't wait to get that meal and put some mustard on it because I was really hungry. My grandfather used to say, baby, bark don't taste bitter to the hungry squirrel. So I always say, if you're really wanting to test just to make sure you're truly hungry, plan something that is so boring or so just like, ugh, that will make sure that you're really hungry. Now, I don't say that because I want y'all to develop diet mentality, like that's all I can eat. It is an experiment to just make sure that you're not having psychological induced hunger because you believe that exercise increases hunger. And when you believe, like if you've read in magazines and stuff, and then over the years when you exercise, oh, I think I'm hungry, and then you ate, it becomes the story. And it feels very real because you have a lived experience, but we can really try it. She says, I'm going to try again with the no BS principles. Do it and let's see what happens. Like just something really boring. The rest of the meals can be entertaining, but this is the one where it's like, okay, if I think I'm having an increase in my hunger, I'm going to plan. Like this is the food that I eat on purpose for what I think is exercise-induced hunger. And I'm never going to look forward to this food. But I will want to eat it because I know my body deserves food because it's legit hungry from exercise. And you can do that for like a couple months. Then after a couple months, if it's like I keep going to my boring ass food, then we can make it taste a little better. Then we can make it a little bit more enjoyable. But don't do it until you really know that that's the thing. And somebody said, same with middle of the night eating boring food didn't calm that down. Yeah. So if you're legit hungry in the middle of the night and you're like, all right, I get to eat carrots and hummus, like something like completely boring, and you notice that you like end up eating it and stuff. It's like, no, I'm really am hungry and stuff. Then if you want something that's not just carrots and hummus or whatever, then you can change it out. But it's always just a good litmus test to like decide whether or not you're legitimately hungry, or if you had a belief and then you went through an experience with a belief, like somebody told me I would be like, this is what I often see. Somebody told me when I first started exercising that I would be hungrier. It could have been a trainer, it could have been friends, you could have read it in a magazine, in a blog, heard it in a podcast, or something like that. So you're like, all right, I'm going to start exercising. And then your brain is looking for hunger. And it finds maybe some emotional hunger, some I deserve it eating or something. And it calls it, it like mislabels it as exercise-induced hunger. Okay. All right. Everybody, I hope you all had a good maintenance call. We'll be back next month. Make sure you come. Tell all your maintenance friends over in the group because a good bit of you showed up, but some of y'all are not in maintenance and y'all just come because you love it. So make sure your maintenance friends know that this call is happening so that we have good participation every month. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you next month. Bye, y'all.